The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
It is time for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time on KCBS, we give you direct access to top experts in various fields. Today, students' test scores are reaching the lowest point in decades. And we'll discuss how that could shape the future of education. Also, maybe look into possible causes. Joining us live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline, Morgan Polakoff, Professor of Education at USC. Professor Morgan Polakoff, welcome to KCBS. Good to have you on today.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Let's start at the beginning here. Test scores are at their lowest point in quite some time. Do you see any obvious reasons as to why that is?
Well, there's a few different sort of prominent theories out there for why test scores have declined so much. I mean, certainly some of it has to do with COVID and the lingering effects of the pandemic. kids were negatively affected, and those effects are still hanging on. But I think a lot of people, these declines actually started before COVID, and folks are pointing to a couple of different factors. One, a lot of folks are pointing to technology, the widespread use of devices, increasingly now you've got AI also contributing to, students not working as hard in school. And then two, I think some people believe that changes in education policies also play a role. So around the time of when the decline began, there were some changes to how we hold schools accountable, and there was a lot less pressure on schools to improve, and that's persisted, and some folks do think that's also partially to blame. But the real answer is we don't know the exact cause, and probably it's all of these things and also other things.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things mixed together. You mentioned COVID. It seems like COVID is what we blame a lot of things on. Is COVID, the pandemic was 6 years ago, is that still a factor in where we are seeing kids in their education today, all these years later?
I think so. I mean, we would like to believe that, that we've gotten past that. But, there's very compelling evidence that student achievement declined quite a lot during COVID and COVID school closures, and that it never really recovered. So, how much of these declines is just due to COVID is not totally clear, but it's not zero.
I want to ask you about the AI factor. The fact that AI is out there for just about everything, why read a book when AI can tell you what the book says? Is that harming our kids' education these days?
Well, it's quite early to say about the impacts of AI generally, but there's a lot of suggestive evidence that AI is contributing to the problem. So, I direct some surveys at USC, and we survey teenagers and find that lots of them are using AI. The term that you hear is they're offloading or cognitive offloading a lot of their hard work to AI. I think AI clearly complicates our ability to even understand what students know and can do. And kids are using AI a lot more than teachers and parents even think. That said, there are some potentially promising uses of AI. And so, you don't want to throw everything out necessarily. But so, for instance, using AI to help improve assessment, help diagnose student misconceptions, right? Like, there's a few different potential uses, and there's folks who are trying to use it productively. But everything we know so far is suggesting that it is really contributing to declines in student performance and understanding because of the ways that students are using it.
I wonder if, even more than AI, if there's something else in this social media age. I'm gonna date myself here, but kids these days, they're not texting words; they're texting a letter or a series of letters that represent a series of words or something like that. Is that affecting kids' ability to form a sentence, to read a sentence, and the like?
It's an interesting question. I think the truth of this is when you think about it, right, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 41 years old, and technology has changed so much in our lifetimes. I mean, when I was in school, there were, you know, we just barely had gotten PCs. We didn't even have high-speed internet. And now everyone has the world's knowledge at their fingertips. And not only that, but with AI, something that can basically do all your thinking for you. And so it's totally rational to believe that this would have serious impacts on our development, and I think especially the development of young people. So that's why I think you're seeing a lot of this sort of tech-related backlash happening, where schools and districts are banning technology and things like that, and you're seeing parents get involved as well. And I would say, I do believe that technology is contributing to the problem, but I also think that we're not looking at other factors that are contributing. Like, for instance, lots of kids don't really read books in school anymore. We just don't expect that kind of behavior. And a lot of it is about parent expectations and teacher expectations for the kinds of work that kids should be doing. And those have also changed in really profound ways.
You mentioned parents. I wonder, are parents noticing that the test scores are lower? And if they are, do they really care?
This is a great question. And actually, my research team just has a piece out about this. It was in EdSource. And, you know, parents, to a large extent, don't really see test scores as particularly important. You know, parents get signals from schools, and increasingly they get signals from schools that kids are doing just fine because kids are getting A's and B's, and most parents think that that's fine performance. And so they're not going to look at test scores. Besides that, test scores are often presented in ways that I think are not understandable to the average person, or they come too late to be useful. And so I think by and large, parents don't really look at test scores. And I think there's also the perception that test scores don't really matter, which actually is not true, right? We have very good evidence that kids' actual knowledge as measured on these test scores is predictive of long-term success, not just at the individual level for individual kids, but also at the level of whole states and the country, right? It matters what people know and can do.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard about standardized tests, that they're not always fair to some, you know, ethnic or racial groups, or, you know, they're too hard for some in various socioeconomic classes. Is there a chance that standardized tests are just too difficult?
I think the way that states and the federal government come up with our standards for student performance, I think is pretty good. And I think, you know, we have clear and I would say pretty reasonable expectations about what students should know and be able to do at particular grade levels. And I think it's important to really have those clear expectations and to, you know, provide the resources to set schools up for success. I would just say that lowering standards to make it seem like we're over the bar is not a good solution. And actually, we have pretty compelling evidence that having high expectations for kids benefits them in the long run. My hope is that states don't react to this trend by trying to hide the ball, that they actually really invest in education policies that can, help us turn these trends around.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the wrong approach if we say, well, the tests are too hard and too many kids are failing or scoring poorly, so let's make the test easier so more kids, you know, get a nice grade. That seems like the wrong approach.
For sure. And you know, to be clear, these tests really, especially right now, don't really have consequences for anyone. In California, especially. I mean, in some states, the tests are used for decisions about who gets held back or decisions about, you know, what goes on a diploma. But California has none of those policies. And so as a result, you know, there's not it doesn't really matter. I mean, other than we might look at the results and say we want to do better, it's not like this is going to affect someone's life outcomes directly.
Professor, we have a question from a KCBS listener who heard us talking about these standardized tests and asks, do standardized tests get kids ready for SATs or the LSAT or the MCAT?
Well, I would say that, you know, those kind of standardized tests, the SAT and such, those are not really based on any particular curriculum. They're more tests of general abilities. And whereas the state tests that kids take, those are really supposed to be about, you know, did they master the thing that they were taught that year that they were supposed to learn? So in that sense, no, but I will say, I think in general, right, test taking is a skill like any other skill. And so some amount of practice in taking tests is useful. That said, kids are frankly tested to death. And so, you know, one additional test isn't going to help them get ready for the SAT.
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I was a kid and I was in school, I had terrible study habits, but I actually was really good at taking tests. And that's kind of how I survived. I know people who are the other way around. They study very hard and they just hit mental blocks when they take tests. So, you know, it doesn't seem like there's just one standardized answer here.
Absolutely. I mean, different children are better and worse at different things. They might also be good at one subject and not at another. And I think that's totally fine. I think what the tests provide is another, you know, fairly objective piece of information about kids' performance that is useful for understanding, you know, what they know. And that is, as I said before, predictive of long-term outcomes that we do care about. Things like, are people employed and how much money do they make in adulthood? And you might not think that a third grade reading test would be predictive of that, but it is.
That's really interesting. Another great question here from a KCBS listener. This is kind of a two-parter. How could this affect the future of higher education? And then they go on to ask, is this cause for concern for the future of our workforce?
Well, yes and yes. You know, in higher education, we already see, for instance, the sort of blockbuster report from UC San Diego last year that showed that large numbers of students were coming in unprepared to do college-level math. And this is a problem that lots of institutions are dealing with, even relatively elite ones. I think it's exacerbated by decisions that those schools have made to move test optional or to get rid of standardized tests in their admission process, which, you know, ends up resulting in you're admitting fewer prepared students. But it is an issue that higher ed is having to deal with, and professors like to whine about this all the time if you talk to them about how kids these days aren't as prepared as they used to be. So there is that. And workforce, I think, similarly, you know, again, we might not like to believe it, but student performance, what students actually know and can do as measured on these tests is predictive of the kinds of success they have as an adult. And, you know, when you've got, you know, kids showing up, not kids, adults showing up at the workplace and they're, say, unable to read a paragraph or a page and tell you what it means, and apply it to their work, then that could be a real problem. And so, you know, workforce also, they like to complain about the readiness of kids. And I do think that these trends are concerning in that regard.
Fascinating discussion. Professor Morgan Polakoff at USC, thank you for coming on. We also thank our KCBS listeners for the questions. Professor, hope we get a chance to chat again. Thank you for coming on Ask an Expert today.
Thanks for having me.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.